very familiar passage of Scripture, and I'm going to preach to you today on the hope of the church. The coming of the Lord. Let's say the coming of the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, I'm still going to be ready. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Reading with feeling. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Let's say the word of the Lord. If you don't mind marking your Bibles, underline that or highlight it. The word of the Lord. Let's say the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself. Let's say the Lord Himself. Underline that if you will. Shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Let's say the hope of the church. Now let's pray that God would bless these next few minutes and just anoint all of us. Lord, we love You today. We have full dependence upon You, Jesus. We want to worship You as we preach. We want to magnify You, Lord, as we look at these verses of Scripture. Now, anoint all of us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. You know, as I looked at these verses of Scripture, and I have read them over and over and over again, and the Bible teaches us, you know, of something that should be very precious to all of us. Just the thought of the coming of the Lord, you know. You know, and in John the 14th chapter, He says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the coming of the Lord should be the very theme of our message all the time. I know as a pastor, I perform weddings from time to time, and I've had three daughters to get married, and when they're courting, I'm going to tell you their husband-to-be, they carry pictures in their billfold. If their hands even touch over at the concession stand, you know, we touch fingers. Oh, they come home almost wanting to encase that finger that touched the one that they hope to be married to, you know. And if there's a hair falls out of his head and it happens to just be there on a napkin, or so, oh, well, let's get a piece of scotch tape. And they'll put that hair over there, there and put scotch tape. That's his hair. And my daughters would come to me and say, now, Dad, you like him, don't you? You know, and show me the picture. Oh, yeah, I like him. He's all right, you know. But you see, if I have my Bible and theology correctly, you know, applied today, we're still courting. You know, the marriage hasn't taken place yet. And when people are courting, they go bozo. I mean, they just go bonkers. When I was courting my wife, I would write poetry. Well, I'd get alone at lunch hour on the job and I'd sing, and I had a little Indian blood in me, and I would think of the shores of Hiawatha and waterfalls and going down the river cruising, you know, paddling, you know, and I'd, oh boy, I'd sing those old songs, those ballads of, oh, I can't begin to tell you how much you mean to me. Man, I would spook out. I would simply, and I'd get on the phone when I get in from work, and I would call, and I'd go, oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. You love me, don't you? My. Now, don't act that way. You know what I'm talking about. And you see, if we are in the church, when we talk about the coming of the Lord, it ought to cause something to happen within us. Brother Kilgore, a while back, I preached on the coming of the Lord. One of the new converts got to church a little late that day. She said, Pastor, what's wrong? What happened? I said, did somebody die? I said, no, I just preached about the coming of the Lord. And you see, in most cases, we today that claim to know so much about Jesus, and oh, we're in love with Him. Oh, we are in love with Him. But you just begin to talk about the coming of the Lord, and people break out with a chill. Because you see, some of that fascination and some of that desire has been stolen from us because affluence has reshaped our theology. What could be better than several homes and several cars and several boats? I'm not knocking those things. But I'm going to tell you what. If you're dragging a cotton sack up and down the rows and mosquitoes are hounding you, and Copperhead just snapped at you a few moments ago, when you come back and you get into the evening and have the meal, and when you sing, when they ring those golden bells for you and me, it has a different feeling. But you see, affluence has snatched away from us some of the things that the old-timers preached, and we shouted about it because the old-timers believe there's a hell. And they also believe there's a heaven. Nobody would want to go to hell if they just get one glimpse of what the preachers were preaching about. But everybody ought to want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. But you see, the coming of the Lord draws nigh. The Bible says, be sure that you continue to comfort one another. A man a while back said, well, I don't want the Lord to come because he said, I'm enjoying what I'm doing so much. I thought, well, at least you're honest. But you see, my friend, if the courtship, I've been married almost 50 years, and the courtship was great. It was rather brief, but it was great. But the courtship is nothing like the real marriage. I said the marriage, and if we are looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb, we who have had His name actually in heaven and earnest that came from Him, one of these days we're going to be married to the King of Kings. And I'm going to tell you, I'm enjoying the courtship. I'm enjoying preaching today. I enjoyed teaching that lesson a few minutes ago. But oh, hallelujah, I'm still happy to think about the coming of the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. He went away. He said He's going to come again and receive us unto Himself. So attitudes about the coming of the Lord can be clearly defined. We can look at it. We can see where we are. Now, let me just tell you this. I don't want to make this a negative message, but I don't know anybody that's really intensely praying for the coming of the Lord. Oh, a little more here, a little longer here. I have unsaved loved ones. I'm going to tell you, I pray for them every day, and I'm thankful for every day that they actually have another opportunity. But all you and I today need to be something different than the idea of just hanging on here, and we're in some respects losing a lot of good people because they got a hold of too many things in the process of the way. Oh God, I'm thankful for every day that we have another day to serve. But I'm going to tell you, every time somebody mentions the coming of the Lord, we ought to be charged up full of faith and say, oh, I still believe it, and I still want it to happen. If you want to be ready for the coming of the Lord, just jump up out of your seat and say, I intend to be ready for the coming of the Lord. I'm not going to let anything cause me to miss it. And I am persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can take you away from Him, but you've got to want Him more than anything. Hallelujah. Comfort one another. Thank you, and you can be seated. But we need to recognize that He is positively coming. Let's say positively coming. He's positively coming. Scripture said, you know, it didn't say by word of mouth or by word of man, but it said by the word of the Lord, by Jesus' word. He's coming. The coming of the Lord is mentioned, I think it's something like 348 times in the Bible. John the 5th chapter and the 8th verse mentions that the coming of the Lord draws near. 1 John the 3rd chapter and the 2nd verse says, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Matthew 26 and 64 says that Jesus, you know, says, you shall see the Son of Man coming, you know, in the clouds of glory. People scoff at it. They mock. They ridicule anybody that would believe this. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter how they feel about it in any other circle. I want my family, I want this old boy right here to stay in tune so that I can welcome the return of the Lord. In Noah's day, they scoffed. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, they made fun. And the epistle that Peter wrote mentioned the fact that there would be people that would be scoffers and be mockers. But you see, Jesus is positively coming. Let's say positively coming. Hallelujah. Let's say He is for sure going to come. How many have ever thought He came and you missed it? Anybody had that kind of experience? Oh, I've had to have it several times. And I'll be honest with you today. I've already repented several times.
Amen. I haven't done anything wrong yesterday. I don't think I will. But it still pays to just say, hey, Lord, I'm checking out all the systems here. If they do that on the runway out there with a little light plane, checking those the different little flaps and the instruments and checking and seeing if that's all going to go, because they don't want to take a chance at heading down that runway. There's something would be malfunctioning. Oh, before I came over here today at the motel, I repented. Hallelujah. I loved him several times before I took the Bible. Hallelujah. Checking it out, Jesus. It just might come today. It might be today. It might be while I'm preaching. But I'm going to tell you, I'm still believing that the coming of the Lord is the key to the church. And if we ever lose that fascination, we will have missed the greatest blessing of the trip and also missed the trip. Hallelujah. I was talking with a friend this week about another friend. You know, the person just doesn't seem to like church. How can we not like church and claim to love the Lord? Oh, I know we might get sick or weak sometimes and have to miss a few services, but I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like church. The fascination of coming into the presence of God, hearing the Word of God talk, hearing the Word of God preach, hearing the choir sing, and feeling the blessings of the Lord and tears coursing down your cheeks and feeling that peculiar feeling when the anointing begins to come. Oh, hallelujah. Comfort me with those words. He is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His first coming was foretold. It happened. It positively happened. His virgin birth was foretold. He actually was born of a virgin. His crucifixion was foretold. His resurrection from the dead was foretold. And when it comes to predicting the future, God is batting 1,000%. You can mark it down. He is positively coming. One old song of the church, Brother Kilgore, says, Jesus is coming. Go herald the tidings far over the land and the sea. Da 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 da. Oh, I can think of those songs being sung when my childhood was just in the developing stages of learning to love the Lord, but He's still coming. Hallelujah. I'll soon be 68 years of age. I still believe He's coming. I still feel the anointing about it when I preach it. I want you to know the Lord is coming. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then, not only is He positively coming, He is personally coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, the Lord Himself. It didn't say the Lords themselves. It said the Lord Himself. Hallelujah. Amen. He's been here before, and we can rest assured that He will come again. Not making light on songwriters and all. I love to sing. I love music and all. But there was a song a number of years ago that we all wept over and we cried. We probably used it to, but there's a verse in that troubles me. He said, you know, God searched through heaven and could not find anyone willing to be the perfect sacrifice. Will you go? You go? That's not the way it was, my friend. God didn't just look all over heaven, see if He, have we asked everybody yet? I'm going to tell you, see, that those songs sometimes can just garble up your theology and you'll be crying about the wrong things and you'll be singing the wrong things and putting things in your mind that are not really of God and intentioned well, perhaps they could be, but you see, the Word of God tells us how it happened. God was Father in creation. He became a man in redemption's plan, robed Himself in flesh. And what father would go and send his little boy out to face a wicked world? No, it wasn't that way. God Himself, hallelujah, God was Father in creation, became a man in redemption. He was our Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So Jesus was God in flesh. And so God in flesh personally came then, and when He comes back, He is personally coming for you and I. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He was born personally for you. He was born personally for me. He prayed personally for you. He prayed personally for you. He spoke personally in His Word today to you, and He's coming one of these days personally to get you and take you back to where He is. Clap your hands unto Jesus. Well, we ought to get so excited when we think about this. I mentioned when people begin to prepare for marriage, if there was a lady that I had on the schedule in the church who's going to get married in a few weeks and months, and every Sunday I'd see her and she'd be up there on the altar and say, oh God, oh God. And I'd go over and I'd say, what's wrong? You know what day this is? It's just 3 or 4 weeks now. I can't hardly stand it all.
I'd say, hey, young lady, you get you another preacher to do this thing for you, because I don't want to put anything on you that is that heavy. If you can't even bear the thought of the coming of the Lord, just get you another preacher, you know. Amen. When people, just like that girl, I wouldn't marry a person that was just so, you know, oh, terrible thought to get married. When I preach about the coming of the Lord, you ought to get so happy that you'd just be jumping up, I mean, scratching the back of the bench, gnawing on your tongue or something, say, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, my old granddad shouted his shoes off the last night that he lived in this world. Hallelujah. What a thought that my grandpa loved the Lord so much that he shouted his shoes off. And in that great revival in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that some 300 people prayed through under Brother H.F. Wilkins' revival preaching. And my mother was a Baptist lady, a good one, by the way. I was 2 years of age. She handed me to somebody, went down to the altar, received the Holy Ghost. So all I've ever known is this. This is all I know. It's all I care to look into. This is it. This is that was spoken of. I believe in Jesus' name, baptism. I believe that Jesus is God. I believe in holiness, without which nobody's going to see the Lord. When you talk about Jesus coming, it comes. Me on. Hallelujah. I've got a lot of reasons to want to go to heaven, but I plan to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And when I preach about it, I don't want to see a bunch of people gnawing on their tongue and acting like, oh, no, not that. Oh, hallelujah. My Bible teaches me that He's coming back after those that love His appearing. Those that love His appearing. That's why I believe that there's probably going to have to be some amount of persecution doing us around, making us so sick of this world that the Lord is going to actually have to hear from us. Oh, Lord, please come and get us out of this mess. He's not going to come back again a bunch of people that don't want to see Him. You can be seated. The coming of the Lord. Let's say the coming of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor there and say, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Jesus is positively coming. Let's say there's not a doubt about it. He is positively coming. Jesus is personally coming. Let's say He is personally coming. And then verse 16 reminds us that He's coming suddenly. Let's say suddenly. In a moment. We refer to it, of course, as the rapture, but it's going to take place. And the Bible talks about a shout being associated with that. And also with the trump sound. Blink your eyes there. That's how quick He's going to come. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you what, it's going to be a great day when He comes to get His church. I plan to be ready for the coming of the Lord. How long does it take to shout? Let's just see how long it takes you to just shout Jesus. Come on. Jesus! Do it again! Jesus! We're having rapture practice here this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in the twinkling of an eye, just blink your eye, just that way, just that way, just that quick. And in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, the 44th verse, if you look in chronology, just the things that take place in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew and take the first 6 chapters of the book of Revelation and line them up and see everything, sometimes theology doesn't match up exactly the way that, you know, we got to think about this thing and say, hey, Lord, whatever needs to happen, it must happen. But I'm going to say the focus is that the coming of the Lord is going to take place. And many, many times we fail to recognize, you know, the scripture about Him coming as a thief in the night, He's not trying to sneak up on the church. He's not trying to blow you away and cause it to happen when you're not ready. He does not want anyone to perish. We have every day that we can repent, every day that we can magnify the Lord, every day that we can judge the sin that might be in our life, every day that we can check out the system, every day to see whether the preaching is still inspired, every day to see we can blow our lungs out with some praises unto God. We have every opportunity to check it all out and see how it stands right today. I still believe that we're in a systems check today. God is going to see whether we really want Him, but He's not trying to sneak up on the church. To those that have mocked and scoffed, He will be sneaking up as it would appear to them. But He's not trying to sneak up on the church. I believe that in our spirit we can feel the coming of the Lord draws nigh. I believe that we can check it out. We don't know the hour of the day, but we know we're living right smack dab middle in the season of the coming of the Lord. We're there! Hallelujah! We're there! Magnify the Lord! Hallelujah! The saved are to be looking for Him. The redeemed should be continually reminding one another, He's coming, He's coming. Hallelujah. So I hasten on. Verse 16 also refers to the fact that Jesus is
selectively coming. We live in a day where people almost feel if you carry a Bible, you're born again. You know, it takes more than carrying a Bible to be born again. Say amen. It takes the new birth to be born again. There's no other way to be born again in the scriptural sense. You can't find any other way to be born again. You have to be born again the way the Bible says you have to be born again. So He's coming back after His own, hallelujah, those who are truly born again. We've had six kids, and you could put any one of those six kids in a crowd of 1,000 people, and I would have no trouble finding mine if they cried out to me. Every mother, it doesn't matter if the baby's only just a few weeks old and she's in the sanctuary from the nursery, she can sense whether it's a cry to change the diaper. She can sense whether it's a cry that the back in the days of safety pins that they didn't get put in right or what. You know, the cry of despair and help me, help me. I'm going to tell you what today Jesus knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. And I've had to experience some things in the last few years as all of you have as well. Brother Coon, as you have as well. But I'm going to tell you in the midst of all the despair, in the midst of all the heartaches, and amidst all the tears of remorse and heartache and suffering and pain, every time I cried out to the Lord, I want you to know He knew where I was. He knew what I needed. He knew what the cry was all about. He knew what it would take to help me. Hallelujah! He has always been faithful. He's always been selective in the way He deals with you. He doesn't deal with you as just one of the bunch. He deals with you singularly, personally. He is looking toward you today. He knows where you are. Hallelujah! Clap your hands unto Jesus today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. I remember my mother, that many of you knew her as a very gifted teacher. She could train teachers to teach children. And it didn't matter if she showed up at camp and they wanted her to teach the children. She didn't have any big problem with that. She'd take her TGY Bible. It didn't even have a concordance or any reference material. And she could get more out of just a simple scripture. She'd get up every morning and she'd say, well, the Lord said for today. And everybody would say, what? And she said, well, the Lord said the thought for today is. And so we'd just say, okay, what is it? Because she'd been with the Lord. She didn't have a husband that supported her. She had to get all of hers from the Lord. She had every kind of thing to deal with in her life. But she never, ever allowed the things that happened in her life to drain away from her the sweetness that she needed to be saved. And so many times she'd teach teachers to teach, and she'd get little children over a sandbox, and she'd talk about the coming of the Lord. While in the nursing home where she died, on the wall was a poster of the rapture, the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Cars crashing on the expressway, you know, graves opening and all that. But she'd tell every nurse, and she'd write me as long as she's able to write, Jesus is coming. On the outside of the envelope, the mailman got to see it. Jesus is coming. Preach the truth, son. You're doing good. On the outside of the envelope. Forget something. Turn it over. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. The key of her life was, hey, this ain't it, baby. We're about out of here. Hallelujah. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. But she'd take that little sandbox, and she'd take a steel pin and wrap it up in a little piece of cloth, and take an aluminum pin and dig a little mound and put the dirt over them there in the graveyard, you know. Little children leaning over that box and they're watching her. She'd take a car here, she'd put a little steel pin in it and put, you know, an aluminum pin, wrap it up like people, and she'd go over here at the house and two in the bed, and she'd have it all laid out there. She'd take a big old wad of cotton and put a magnet in it, put a little cut out of Jesus, and you see, now kids, come on over here. The Bible says if the same Spirit that dwells in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body by the power that works in you. And kids, I want to show you what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. All those little kids leaning over that sandbox, she'd take that ball of cotton, that magnet, and that figure, gee, she'd sweep it over that sandbox, out of the grave, here'd come one popping up into that cloud. Out of the car would come one popping up into that cloud. Out of the bed over here, one popping up. Oh, the kid, ha, 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 ha. She said, that's the way it's going to be, kids. The coming of the Lord's coming, and you're going to be ready if you have the Spirit dwelling within you. I want you to know today that if you're in a hospital room and you don't even know who you are, if the Spirit dwells in you, you are going to be one of those that are snatched out of that situation and into the clouds of glory. Shout Jesus. Shout Jesus. Glory to God. Magnify Him with me for a few moments here.
heard a preacher in a seminar a number of years ago. He said, you know, all the time I was growing up as a child, said parents preached against certain things and taught against certain things. And he said, I always wondered, why is it wrong to do this? And why is it wrong to do that? And he said, one day I got out of school and he said, I just thought, I'm going to go find out what's so bad about the movies that my parents preach against it. So he said, I went by the movie house and he said, I looked all up and down the streets and ducked in there, you know, come out of the brightness of the afternoon sun after school, and he stepped in that movie house and it's so dark in there. He's blinking his eyes and he was thinking, oh, and conviction began to work on him from the time he went past there, got his popcorn, headed down the aisle, feeling his way, couldn't see. He drug his hand across the head of an old man who was asleep and his bald head, you know, cold sweat, he drug his head. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. The rapture has taken place. We're in the tribulation. This auditorium is filled with dead people. But, oh, my God. It's amazing what a kid's mind will do, you know. I've missed it. So he headed home. Oh, boy. Tribulation. Very thing, and I hope never happened, but it happened. He went to the drive up to his house, and he said, hey, Mom! Mom! Hey, Mom! He said, I figured if anybody made it, Mom did. Oh, boy. Looked down the drive to the garage and back, said, let's just check it out one more time. Hey, Dad! Hey, Dad! Yeah, son. Ed figures. If anybody missed it, Dad did. Shouldn't be that way. But he went back, he's thinking, Dad, it's just you and me, tribulation. I'm going to tell you what we preachers need to turn this thing around in a positive direction and don't try to scare everybody that we see and intimidate them. There's been enough weird movies and crazy stuff and novels written. You can't even scare anybody in the altar anymore. I'm going to tell you what, if I thought I could scare somebody in the altar, I'd go into scaring ministry. I'd scare the liver out of everything that looked in my direction, but you can't scare them. They're not afraid. They're not intimidated. Tell me some more stuff. They don't want to know anything about that. So you've got to put in people. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There's a purpose in living for God. There's the hope of the church. The whole thing's going, sucking its way down the drain of humanity. I love serving Jesus. I'd rather shout at church than to be on some dance floor somewhere. Hallelujah. I'd rather sing praises to Him in the house of God. Hallelujah. Because the coming of the Lord is near. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Glory. Glory. Let's say He's coming. Come back to the organ. The old preachers still know how to tell time. You don't have to preach eternally. Just tell it the way it is. Come on. But you see, the last thing here is Jesus is eternally coming. You see, it's once and for all. This is not like a bus. If you miss this one, there'll be another one coming. Honey, let me tell you what. If you miss this, you have missed the key of the New Testament preaching and the purpose of Jesus coming to get a bride out of here for His namesake. How many are glad of Jesus' name baptism? How many are thankful for that family name? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us in verse number 17, so shall we ever be with the Lord. From pain to bliss. From suffering to freedom. New light. A city where really He'll light the place. New city. New dwelling place. But most of all, Jesus. Just play that real softly. I'm persuaded. I don't know how you hooked up theologically in all this wrapped up business, but I'm going to tell you. It just seems to me that very likely that when the coming of the Lord takes place, we're going to get out of here. We're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be given rewards for the deeds that have been done in our body. You see, if you're a saved individual, you don't have to worry about the white room judgment business. I want to be in that group that leaves here, don't you? And very likely at the judgment seat of Christ, and of course the The marriage supper of the Lamb very likely will take place in that same time frame. The Lord will probably seat you and me near somebody that we didn't get along all that well with in this little sojourn here. And we will think, at least for just a few minutes there, that there is a better place than heaven. Because we will think, oh Lord, if I could have just got my attitude squared up just a little bit quicker, what more I could have accomplished had I been right in my spirit. But you see, the Lord's going to have to wipe away tears. And let's just suggest that we are asked by Him to go down the hallway to a place, in my thinking, it might be a place called the Gallery of Unclaimed Crowns. And we'll just file by there and we'll look there, and there'll be a thin there perhaps for Grisham, and maybe some of the crowns would be absent and some will still be there. Perhaps I would weep and cry and think, well, if there'd been just a whole lot more of you, Jesus, and a little less of Charles Grisham, those crowns wouldn't be still there. I'm going to tell you, there are going to be a lot of people leave here feeling like they're 4-star generals and come back at best as buck privates. Because if people get all their rewards here and have to have the applause and the, you know, the high praise of men, I want to be sure that I have my relationship with Jesus Christ, don't you? Somebody probably from the rice paddy fields of Korea or Vietnam maybe rode an old bicycle and had parts of old casings strapped to their feet, probably walked back with more rewards to rule and reign for 1,000 years on the earth here than some who's got all of their praise here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord today? Do you love the Lord today? Do you praise Him today? Hallelujah. Isn't He a wonderful God? Isn't He a wonderful God? Scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In fact, my friend, we won't escape. What I'm doing right now is like a pebble in a pool, a plastic pool, and the ripples are reaching to the far reaches of whatever influence I might have for Jesus. And already what I'm preaching, what I've sung, and what I'm still talking about, and what's going through your mind, it's already lapping up on the shores of eternity right now. Every card you write, every letter you write, every phone call you make, every preaching, sermon you, every lesson, every song you sing, it's all affecting eternity. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you love the Lord today? Do you praise Him today? Hallelujah. Oh, I love Him so much today. Now, I know it's now about 10:57. We've got about 5 minutes here now to praise the Lord. But let me just tell you, don't ever let this world get a hold of you so firmly that you lose the grip on eternal things. Amen. I don't want to sadden anybody here, but in the last few years, I had some things that I just can't altogether explain at all. So since I'm not God, I don't try. Sometimes when bad things come, it looks like bad things. We want to blame it on the devil. And sometimes we might be blaming the wrong one. But you see, the only thing I'm sure of is that basically, Jesus is still Jesus. The rapture hasn't taken place. And I want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord today? Amen. And when Lorna died and my brother died the same week, and I preached both of those funerals in the same week, and Greg was near death and Nashville at the same time, and all three scenarios. Mother died a few months previous. One of my sisters died after sick, only 13 or 14 days. He just was sick such a brief period of time. Preaching through tears, preaching through heartaches, and the anointing of the Lord would be there when I'd go to church, and then maybe Mondays I'd slide like I was on a big slide, and the church probably didn't even know what pain I was feeling. And I didn't want to admit it. You see, we think we're supermen sometimes. I'd get up some days and I'd be angry. Wouldn't be angry at my wife. Wouldn't be angry at anything. Just angry. Go to motels and try to just read and think and walk streets and look into windows and act like I'm interested in what my wife was shopping for. But I'm going to tell you what, my friend. As old Darren was trying to keep that church praying when Lorna was dying, I said, get to here quick, son, if you want to see your sister alive. And he saw her, he crumpled into the floor. And then he, taller than I am now, wrapped his arm around me. We walked down the hallway at that hospital. He said, Daddy, we've got to be strong. We're leaders. See, the only thing I have that's of any value is what I have with Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you value your relationship with Jesus today? Hallelujah. Do you really value that relationship you have with the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the only choice that we really do have is our choice of whether we will continue to follow and be convinced that this is the only thing that will really matter in the long run. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus,
in these few minutes, Lord, we have already dealt with eternity. I thank you for the day that a man led a wagon into our city in Tulsa with his own goat, his own dairy behind his wagon. While he would not have won any popularity contest, he preached the truth. He preached holiness. My family came into the church. My grandma, an illiterate Indian lady, had enough sense to come to God. My mother and my dad all went to the altar that first night. And while I was only 2 years of age, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for somebody bringing the gospel to our city. Thank you, Lord, that my pastor continued to preach holiness to the day of his death. Thank you that he never wavered from the truth of your gospel. Thank you for the heritage that I have. And if any of those that have departed know anything about what I'm doing today, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I do want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And I shall know him. I shall know. Would you stand? Him as redeemed.